It's a scorcher this week in my neck of the woods, and it's Data Transfer Season 2, Episode 38, and I'm Audrey.
And I'm Koyla. It's remarkably temperate over here. We broke out of the fucking lethal heat wave, and now we get to have a little bit of nice time.
Apparently, it's lethal heat wave times in a lot of places, but not necessarily here. It's been steady 80, which is like kind of hot for June, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I got friends with heat advisories they wake up to, so...
Yeah. I've definitely been doing the thing where... Because I don't have air conditioning in my place because I'm fucking poor.
Mm-hmm.
And so what'll happen is I will go to sleep and I will wake up wet. Just wake up just wet.
Wet.
Just wet from
sweat. You gotta get that... You gotta get some fucking paper towels on you when you go to bed.
Yeah.
Maybe soak it up.
I wonder, like, if, like, a cold compress on my forehead as I'm going to sleep. I wonder if that'd do me any good.
So is it fairly humid over there then?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine. Otherwise the sweat would actually evaporate.
Yeah, all the time. All the damn time. Humid. Humid as fuck.
God, that sucks.
Whenever so you need a
dehumidifier, then you won't wake up sweaty.
Yeah. I'm in the Ohio Valley.
Yeah.
Ohio River Valley. So we're down by
Ohio.
Ohio Gozaimus. Corla, how are you? How are you?
I'm pretty up and down lately. It's been turbulent. I've been having a lot of good times, a lot of bad times.
Sure.
Take crashing
the good,
out.
Take the bad, and there you have facts of life.
Crashing out and slowly standing back up, I think is how I would put it.
Cool.
Been kind of at the tail end of a long depressive spell.
Sure.
Which is to be expected given everything going on right now, but it's difficult, and it took a lot of cute women to put me back on track.
There you go. There you go.
To be fair, I'm still riding the high of finally getting to see my good friend in Seattle, my very cute and attractive and funny and interesting friend.
Yay.
God, I wish I had any fucking specifics to say, but I've been in such a fucking morass of just like bodily maintenance and then get on the computer, and that is it. That is where my fucking existence stops. I haven't been too greatly social, except that I did go to see an anime movie. Was that before
movie?
Last time?
Perhaps, or maybe after. I think it was after.
Was that like right after? Yeah, I went to see the Reincarnated as a Slime movie, which if you love the original fable of the Little Mermaid, you'll fucking love that movie. It's that with anime and titties and a goblin.
Okay.
The goblin doesn't have titties. He is, in fact, pretty cool.
Okay. Cool goblin.
Cool goblin.
Are we thinking like, is when I think of a goblin, there's a lot of different ways a goblin can articulate. Is it like a World of Warcraft goblin, like a little green guy with a big nose, big ears?
I should just get you a fucking picture. Yeah.
Or a little pig nose guy, like from Dungeons and Dragons.
Warcraft goblin is the closest of those two. Imagine a Warcraft goblin, but like smooth off the edges, right? Smooth arm, like the same stature, but like no wrinkliness, no scraggliness to him.
Okay.
Just a tiny guy with a big round head, and a friendly big round nose.
Okay.
And little shock of mohawk in the middle.
Not all spiky and mean looking like the Warcraft guys. Okay.
No, his name is Gopta, and he's the fucking goat, and we love him, actually. Gopta rules. I mean, except when he's being weird about women. Then he deserves the smackings that he gets for
it. That's goblin behavior, though.
That is goblin behavior.
Kind of what it is to be.
And even then, it's more just like a childish enthusiasm to like engage in dating and romance without any like clear thought of what that fucking means.
Ingratiating goblin.
Succubus with goblins.
I've been pretty depressed too.
Yeah, how are you? Bad?
It's been pretty bad. Doing this thing where I feel bad when I'm not at work.
Yeah, that sucks. I've been hating that.
Yeah, and then the worst part is, because it is still work, and it is still taxing on my mind and body, and so it's like, oh, great. I get to go to work today, and I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And so I feel worse because I'm exhausted, but then I feel depressed when I'm not there. It's fucking not any good. But I may have found a bit of a balance. I did take the day off today to try to get a little equilibrium back. And we'll see if taking 2 days in a row, because I haven't had 2 days off in a row in like the hottest of minutes.
Right.
So we'll see if that did anything for me. I didn't really hit like a real bad spot today yet.
Yet.
It's only 8 p.m. You have a dark night of the soul in the next 3 hours. It's possible.
I'm tucking you in as soon as we're done recording.
Okay.
I'm putting you down. I'm putting the very thin blanket over you so you don't suffocate in your sleep.
I might sneak out and go have a beer. I'm fluffing your pillow. Think about going over to the Mexican joint, having a big beer.
No, I'm gonna sit on you. You can't go anywhere.
Oh.
You're gonna have me on your chest. No, I'm gonna be
a baby.
I'm a go to sleep paralysis demon.
That's fucking funny. Hey, can I tell you about something that's going on in Marathon right now? Because we talk about video games in this program a little bit.
Go for it. I haven't engaged as much, primarily because no one's invited me.
Yeah.
But that's primarily because I'm no fun in Marathon. So
you do get a little butthurt. A little salty at the game.
Yeah, it's not a game that makes me feel good. It's not a game that makes me engage with people in a healthy way. Yeah. I recognize that.
There's a mode that might be of some interest to you because of this. Because I think a lot of your issue with the game is you're cruising through, you're killing bots, you're doing objectives, and you're feeling good while you're doing that. You run into another group of people, they murder you and take your shit.
Yeah, it's Dark Souls PvP, and I've hated that since it was a thing. So, sure. Yeah.
Except they're just on the map the whole time.
Right. It's different. Dark Souls PvP, but you don't even get a warning.
Yeah, it's not even like, hey, you're getting invaded. It's like, you gotta listen, you know what I mean? Like, if you see bots behaving like there's somebody over there, and you
I'm sure you can learn to recognize when people are around. But the introductory experience is, you get an area where it basically puts no one else around you. And you get to work in there for a while in the baby zone. The moment you step out the baby zone, you gotta either talk your way out of getting shot at, shoot first, or die. Those are your three things that are offered to you, and it is inevitable that you will run into a group.
Yeah.
Two times out of three.
And I prefer to shoot personally, because I think it's a game where combat is rewarded pretty heavily. And you have a different philosophy, and that's somewhat challenging. But I have a mode that might be of some interest to you. It is called Sponsored Dire Marsh Night.
Oh.
It's Dire Marsh, but it's nighttime. And you get a flashlight, which is nice of them to give you, because it's very dark. And on this map, there are new challenges posed, new hazards, new stuff to do. And in Dire Marsh Sponsored Night, you load in with your crew, and you are, in fact, the only crew on the map.
Okay.
No other crews. Except sometimes they will spawn one other crew.
Why?
For flavor. For flavor.
That completely defeats the point of having a PvE mode if you're just going to add Dark Souls Invasion.
No, because it's like 60 to 80% of the time by your lonesome. But then guess what? Oh no, there's another group and you have to fight them, and it's a whole thing, right? I think it's kind of cool. But mostly it's PvE, and then they start spawning rooks in halfway through, single player guys, right? Donovan and I ran about 5 runs of this, didn't run into a single rook, didn't run into a single other group. We're just killing UESC and doing objectives and having fun doing that. And I think you could have a good time with that.
I could try.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Knowing that there is still the possibility of invasion fucks me pretty bad on that.
Come on, it's not that bad.
Why do you hate that I like cooperation?
I don't hate that you like cooperation. I don't like that you abhor competition.
Yes, absolutely I do. I fucking despise competition. It's so not fun. I'm playing it's games so that fun. Have fun and connect with people. And the idea that you're like, no, I want to kill them instead is like insane to me. Mm. I'm so tired. PvP has been what multiplayer is from the first time we had a multiplayer game. It's been done. I'm exhausted with competition. It's what everything is. It's what everything that gets big is, especially fucking Overwatch, fucking Counter-Strike, Team Fortress.
You played the fuck out of Overwatch too.
I'm like, I don't know, tired of them is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm exhausted. It is boring. It's been done to death, okay? 007 GoldenEye existed on the N64. We did this. We've been here. Let's try mass cooperation. That's a genre that I don't think we have very much of at all. I think would be very interesting to try. Battle Royales are done to death. They've been done to death for a long time.
There's some very significant differences between a Battle Royale and an extraction shooter.
Oh, yeah. I don't give a shit in this instance. They are part of the same beast. They are heads of the same beast, Audrey.
Mm. That must be slain.
It's just...
Fuck that kind of fun and the people who like it.
Read a new book. Read a new fucking book. There's other experiences out there. It doesn't just have to be COD. You can grow up.
Wow.
People can grow up from COD.
Wow. I never played a single COD. Played a lot of Counter-Strike, though.
Different head, same Hydra.
Wow. Wow. That's brutal.
You keep fucking ragging on me about this. I'm mad. I'm mad that, like, I keep getting this pushback for no goddamn reason that I'm not allowed to just have my frustration.
No reason.
Okay.
I have no reason at all to want to play the games that I want to play with you.
And now the conversation is about one misstep in that sentence. I'm sorry. Play a different game. Read another book.
I mean, we play Gloomhaven sometimes.
Yeah, I love the cooperative stuff.
Yeah, we could do that.
We do Rabbit and Steel. That's a grand old time.
We do Rabbit and Steel. We do play that. It's a fun little game. I like that one.
Like, okay, it's not like you don't fully... You're not even fully diametrically opposed to me on this, right?
No, we
play Elden Ring seamless co-op, specifically to shut off assholes jumping in.
And sometimes it's really frustrating when you're cruising around and somebody comes up and they just murder you. Sometimes that sucks. Sometimes you run into somebody and it's a good fight. Holy shit. Wow, that was close. I lost, but that was close. I gave it a good shot, and there was like an even competition there.
It's not even that.
Sometimes you even have that even competition, and then you fucking slay their ass, and you do the point down emoji, and you're like, suck my fucking balls, and you teabag them, and it's awesome.
I did get something at the time from killing, what the fuck was his name, like Trump King 24.
Yeah,
in Dark Souls 3 after he invaded us. That felt great. That was catharsis. There is something to be gained there.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that I play a lot more games than most people. I think it's fair to say. I have a lot of spare time to dump into the thing I love, and that is video games. And I just... It's like someone who's really into movies does not necessarily want to go see the latest Marvel thing because they've seen the same shape of the thing done a dozen different ways recently. You know what I mean?
If you're
I am a connoisseur and my tastes for the not invalid but lowest common denominator options, broad appeal options, is that fair to say? My taste for it has waned because
not you doing eat pizza well, actually.
Forever.
It's kind of...
You get sick of pizza.
Not exactly a broad appeal game.
Okay, Marathon in particular is... Oh, man. This is just what the podcast is about now. We're going to talk about
this
Marathon.
This is one of those ones.
So let me
talk about recommendations after this if you want.
Let me run this back, because you were selling of like there are good things to be had out of PvP, there are good experiences. Yeah. There's value to be had in the frustrating parts.
Yeah.
There is an like a ludonarrative cohesion being created,
yes,
within the world of Lordran or any of the other ones, I don't remember.
Lands between Lothric, like Drangleic.
Drangleic. Yeah. when a rando jumps into your game and kills the shit out of you with you not even knowing how to get through the regular enemies in your way.
You're trying to do something.
You're trying to do something. That elicits a very strong frustration out of the player, and that's a valuable experience because it puts you in the perspective of the world itself and the tone of the world. You are a small thing amongst a lot of other things, just picking across the corpse of this once great society, or at sure. least once massive society.
And this is that's something I noticed about 3 particularly. There are a lot of fights that if you come through at the level you're supposed to be at, you just shouldn't take.
Yeah, absolutely. Because people are doing, you know, RuneScape combat. Yeah. Fucking twinking.
There's that fucking Black Knight guarding the Farron Cole.
Oh right, yeah. That he's just looking him. The other way. Don't fight him.
Don't fight him. Just run past him, get the coal, and die. That's what you're supposed to do there.
Yeah. Or
and then come learn back to parry, later.
But that's pretty fucking that is a parry, long Lord. Practice time, yeah.
Cause that fucking sword comes out so fast for no goddamn reason.
It's remarkable. It's
huge. And he's just like,
but if you get that sword though.
Yeah, it's a good
if you
sword.
You get that Black Knight sword, that's your build. You see that? You see the stat requirements? You're like, oh fuck, I gotta be able to wield that. And that's that gives you something to gun towards for the next while. Anyway, there's value to be had in frustrating player versus player experiences. I don't want to discount the fact that there's something to be had from that, and that those human experiences are genuine and valid. It's just that like I've been on this rodeo so many times, and I'm just not getting as much out of it anymore. Okay. I've also always been a very sore loser.
Yes, that's where I went. That's yes. I think that's the root of it, actually. Mm. When we,
I don't think games. You can discount literally the rest of it.
You have good arguments saying that, you know, the games have been done to death. Like, how many extraction shooters are out right now? Why does Bungie need to do another shooter? What if Bungie did something other than a shooter? Because that's all Bungie does is shooters, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of arguments for, like, not Marathon. I think the reason that you don't necessarily enjoy playing Marathon is because the treadmill is such that it's moving at a speed that you're not at yet. And if you were to get on that tread, I feel like if you were to get on that treadmill and do it and practice it and try it with me, that we could get up to speed and get running with the rest of everybody. I think there's a world where that happens. I think the friction is emotionally difficult for you. And so your lack of ability to be resilient in the face of a loss is what is keeping you from enjoying that game.
Fair enough. And that resiliency is something that's plastic, right? It
sure.
It
changes from day
changes.
To day.
I've been in a long fucking depressive spell.
Sure.
I don't have any patience for myself when I'm depressed. I immediately start beating on myself the moment I fail at something, especially if anyone else was relying on me.
What if nobody else gave a shit?
That doesn't matter in the midst of it. Once the emotions are heightened, that's not where my head's at.
Yeah.
Like, my heads are at, I failed. Other people were counting on me. It's time to self-flagellate. Like, you have to make up for it with a little bit of beating up yourself. it's just what my brain does. That's okay. That's something that we can't fix here. That's therapy yes. shit.
It is something that you should absolutely be challenging, because what the part that makes it a bummer is not the losing. It's what happens. It's what you do after we lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it.
That's why I don't play with y'all. I don't like bringing it down.
Okay.
I hate being that.
That's fair. I'm just saying you could get. I'm just saying there's a different way.
I don't know if I can get there. I think I might be too busted.
Hmm. Oh well.
Oh well. Digimon.
Digimon.
You know, I've been playing games I actually enjoy. We could have talked about any of those, but no, trying to sell me on Marathon again.
No, I was trying to sell you on the mostly PvE mode of Marathon to remove the asterisk matters. It's not that bad.
We did 5 runs.
We never ran into anybody.
Okay, Digimon.
Okay. Things take on a festive mood as Christmas approaches.
We're so bad, and this is like the cheeriest episode so far.
Yeah, because we watched Digimon Adventure 02, episode 38. Holy and I'm light, Corla. Large assembly of Digimon.
Damn. Oh my god! This episode is so wholesome and wonderful, and I was so excited to talk about it. And then you were just like, "Let's press the button."
Well,
see the big red button. Don't press that.
I don't know.
You press that in Act 3, not at the beginning.
Okay. All right. Well, also the English title of the episode is A Very Digi Christmas.
That's adorable. Shut up.
Come on. The Digidestined continue their work to clean up the digital world as another day comes to an end and the group celebrate a job well done. Ken seems nervous about something. And I was like, oh, what the fuck is this about? What could this be? As ever, Daisuke is quick to notice, and after he attracts the attention of the group, Ken is forced to reveal the festive envelopes in his hand.
They've got little bells on them.
Yeah.
And he's like fucking nervous about it. Wormmon's just like, go for it, dog. What are you concerned about?
Yeah. He was like, do you think they're going to hate my guts? And Wormmon's like, no!
Daijoubu.
TK quickly works it out and saves Ken the trouble of making a stuttered announcement that he would like to invite the group to a Christmas party.
In the Japanese, he's like, hey, my mom made me invite you.
My mom said that I should invite you guys over to our house for a Christmas party. The reaction is generally positive, and the Digimon quickly make sure that they're not left out of the fun.
Specifically, TK, like, steps up to be like, absolutely, thank you for asking.
Thank you for asking. We're all coming.
Yeah.
I would have liked it very much, because what happens next is Daisuke, whose relationship with Ken is somewhat Yori, whose relationship is somewhat icy with Ken, remains distant from the group, and so Ken approaches Yori himself and hands him the invitation. And Yori seems surprised, and he thanks Ken, and the two seem to finally make amends. I would have kind of liked it. I mean, I like that Ken approaches him and is just like, hey, do you want to come to the thing? And he kind of accepts, and that's them being like on the road to getting better.
Yeah.
I kind of would have dug it if TK was like, we'd all like to come, right, Yori?
Well, I think it's important that he makes that decision without peer pressure,
coercion,
right?
Yeah.
Peer pressure would imply that, like, left to his own devices, he'd still be like, nah, fuck you. In this case, he has the strength to be like, yeah, I'm going to move forward on this. You're making efforts. I'll accept them.
You're on the damn team.
It made me smile.
Yeah.
A lot of parts of this episode make me smile real big.
Oh my God, I almost cried a few times. Meanwhile, in the real world, the holidays have already begun. Matt rehearses for a Christmas concert with his band. Aru Kenimon tries to come up with another fiendish plan. And TK's mother meets with Daisuke's father at the shopping mall. And after finishing their meeting, she heads off along the promenade, only to be halted by a shady figure in a purple trench coat.
I love that there's like the mom society.
Yeah.
There's like the fucking Tupperware party secret society going on in just in the background. Like, oh yeah, all the moms know each other. They know exactly what's going on.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing that happens if kids hang out together all the time. The fucking parents get to know each other.
Yeah. You end up, you're fucking waiting at the soccer practice. You might as well talk to other, adults around. Yeah.
And they get intel on each other. Like, you get intel on what your kid's getting up to from the other parents.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I didn't know that Timmy was fucking jumping into the construction site and just taking stuff home. Oh, interesting.
That's wacky. Yeah.
I had to talk to him about that one.
That's how he got that stop sign.
A cool parent would be like, all right, you steel-toed boots because you get fucking tetanus in there. All right? Watch where you step.
Watch where you step, dog. So the shady figure in the purple trench coat stops fucking TK's mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she identifies him as Mr. Oikawa, a man who investigated the mysterious happenings at Height and View Terrace 8 years ago. And
yeah,
the Myotismon missed
this man. I think this man is weird enough. He deserves a two-word description.
Oh, sure. Nerd Dracula.
You're absolutely right.
He's like Nerd Dracula.
He's like Nosferatu was an Nosferatu.
He's Nosferatu for sure.
He's like, would you like to see my Pog collection?
Yeah, exactly. But he's like a little menacing.
I can't get out from under this umbrella. You're going to have to squeeze in next to me.
Suddenly there's vampires other than Myotismon, and it's a nerd.
It makes a lot of sense, like, having him visually compared to Myotismon, as he was the one who cracked into the real world in the first place. Yeah. Now, this is a human looking like Myotismon cracking the barrier between the human and the digital world from the other way.
There's parody.
There's parody. There's parallels. It rhymes.
Man. Oikawa warns her that a new monster problem is beginning and that she should be careful who she lets her son hang around with.
I'm going to say that next time I have an erection.
There's a monster problem beginning.
A new monster problem is beginning. And a third one awkwardly doom scrolls in the corner.
TK's mother is clearly taken aback by these words and inquires as to why he's saying all that. And he leaves her with a hazy response before wandering off and disappearing altogether.
Really sucks that he just like corners a woman in public and makes her uncomfortable and then just walks away.
Yeah.
Like, hey, dog. Couldn't have you said that to the dude that she was just talking to?
No,
she's a reporter. The idea was to scare the press, presumably.
Yeah, yeah. A much less popular program than Meet the Press.
Come on up and greet the press.
It's called Scare the Press. There should be a fucking press in this country. Fucking scribes for the defense industry.
I mean,
pieces of shit.
Yeah. All our media needs to be like forcibly divested from private interests is the thing. Like it needs to be a communal thing.
Did you see Ben Collins speaking at the fucking, I can't remember what fucking prize it was, but Ben Collins, the guy who runs the Onion these days.
Uh-huh.
Back like, I think it was 4 years ago before he took over the Onion, he was a journalist and he fucking spoke at some function where he was basically like, hey, so truth is eroding and it's our responsibility to like tell it. So the next time you're in the room with some powerful people and they try to tell you a line to give and you know it's not right, stand up to them, please. And then he couldn't get a fucking gig as a journalist.
Yep. Got blackballed for it.
Got blackballed, and now
you're
on the Onion.
You can't let that message spread if you're the person who wants your fucking line told.
Yeah. And he specifically, in that speech, specifically said we are in the midst of an information war. Like referencing InfoWars and that project and everything. Yeah. And now his company fucking owns InfoWars. So that's a blow. We love that shit.
God, we love it. We love Tim Heidecker's work on that.
Oh man. Did you see more pod on pod on media shit? But the clip of him where
what
he's
are we if not a podcast jerking off other podcasts?
Yeah. We did the Shenron bit the other week. The fucking rap. More accurately, I did the Shenron bit.
Pulled me into it.
Fucking where it's Tim Heidecker talking to himself posing. So it's the Tim Heidecker. Why can't I think of his fucking name? Alex Jones.
Yeah,
so it's the Tim Heidecker Alex Jones character talking to himself, who is supposed to be the actual Alex Jones on the call. And they're just, they're talking exactly like him. We'll get together and we'll fuck a prime rib together. No comic.
A delightful skit. I recommend we all go check it. I'll put it in the description. Fuck it.
Go see it. Scare the press is what I'm saying. Back in the digital world, Daisuke and the others meet up with the rest of the chosen Digimon as they prepare to give the older Digidestin a Christmas present they'll never forget.
Oh,
they certainly aren't disappointed when their Digimon greet them in the real world.
They put them all in sacks. They're like, all right, now listen. I can't explain all of Christmas to you right now, but jump in the bag. I promise it's going to be so cool.
So about 2,000 years ago, there was this guy, and he went around and he had 12 friends. And they just teach the Digimon all the
local
about
government him. Really did not like
they
him.
They did not enjoy what he had to say. It was primarily be cool to one another and don't be an asshole.
And whip money people.
Yeah, beat the shit out of money people. That's probably the big part they didn't like, actually.
Yeah, they don't like that Jesus said, beat money people.
Beat money.
I only have to bleep that because that's
money out the motherfucking church.
I don't have to bleep that because that's just fucking biblical reference. I love it.
That's just the Bible, baby. As Matt gets back to from rehearsing his concert, Sora makes her way to the practice room with a gift for him. This part almost made me cry because she's going to give Matt a gift.
She wants to give Matt a gift. It's not just that. It's that, one, she's hesitating so hard. Yeah, she's been standing outside the door. Two, when Ty gets there.
Yeah, runs into Ty.
He's enough of an adult to be like, just fucking get in there and do it, nerd. Hey, we're all rooting for you. Just do it.
Yeah, go for it.
And you, Agumon's like, you've grown up so much, Ty.
Agumon's like, grown up so much. Damn, because there's a part of you being
our
like,
tie.
Well, the two female leads, or the two female, the two leads of the show, male and female, Ty and Sora.
Transfem narrative, because I'm here for it.
So part of your child brain, when you're watching a show like this, goes, oh, surely, Ty and Sora.
Right, yeah.
But then they write it so that Sora likes Matt, and Ty sees that and is, adult enough to be like, hey, get in there.
Get in there. He supports her about it.
It's cool. And Agumon even comments on it. You're grown up so much.
I don't think the jealousy would have really been a big issue because I personally didn't sense any like romance stuff in the rewatch.
Yeah.
They were like, Sora was mostly working through her shit with her mom. Right, she was not there for any romance right now.
That's true. Also, Ty is just excited for a new meta, I think. Because Matt's
funny.
His boyfriend.
And I love
Matt's
you.
His boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His trans mask boyfriend.
The thing I was going to say is that our Ty from the first season was about as oblivious as Daisuke is now.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he was able to click what was happening is growth for him, let alone like being chill about it.
Daisuke is oblivious but also about it.
Yeah,
which is a different energy.
Yeah, as opposed to Ty, who was oblivious and kind of a dick half the time.
Yeah, punching people.
A big part of that was the dub, but
yeah. Hey, Ty asks her if she's going to the concert with anyone, and she nervously tells him that she'd be available for Matt. Ty's quick to understand the situation. It's a dub shit. Stupid. It's bad.
Yeah.
When they did it on the dub.
The dub did it bad.
Dub did a bad job.
Because they got to talk too much.
Yeah, they got to talk so much. The sub was basically just like, Sora's nervous about giving the gift. She's like, I don't know if I can go in there. And Ty's like, get in there, nerd. That's a beautiful, it's beautiful. It's well played there.
Yeah.
Reassure Sora that he's okay with it, giving her a gentle shove towards the nearby doorway where Gabumon is now waiting. Agumon comments after how Ty has really grown up before Daisuke's sister Jun charges past them and into Matt's practice room.
Yep, just like Sora was standing there waiting, even though like she's a close friend and he'd really appreciate a gift. And then this fucking asshole who Matt does not want to be around is just like, I'm coming for you, sweetie.
Yeah. Fucking, that's a great parallel between the way Daisuke treats Kari, largely, especially early in the series.
Yeah.
It's just a maladjusted fucking family.
He is not unlike his sister. Unfortunately, the two apples fell right next to each other off the tree.
Yeah. Later on, the younger Digidestin arrive at Ken's home, and he shows them to his room. Yole comments on a picture of his brother Osamu, making a slight faux pas by mistaking Ken's brother for him in the dub. Doesn't happen in the brother, right?
In the sub, he's like, oh, is that your brother? And he's like, yeah, he's kind of dead.
Yeah, that's my...
It's my dead brother.
Because they refer to him in the present tense, and I was waiting for Ken to be like, he was, yeah.
Yeah. Well...
But he doesn't. He just kind of drops, and the room is a little quiet there.
It is odd that they've just got a picture out with none of the, like, commemorative stuff around it to indicate that's a shrine of any sort. It's just there.
It's just on his desk.
I mean, it's just on his desk. Just a picture of
his brother.
He's a kid.
Yeah.
Still rough. Very rough.
Hard. It's hard. Making a slight faux pas, which she does do, but not mistaking for.
Oh, hang on. We didn't touch one thing, which is that they went the extra mile when they were getting the Digimon all matched up with their friends. They went the extra mile to go over to where they could connect to America so they could send Palmon over to Mimi while she's asleep so she can wake up and see her friend on Christmas. I'm crying now. God fucking damn it.
Aww. Yeah, I got tears too. It's so sweet. That they don't spend so much time together.
They can never see each other. They get to see each other on Christmas.
Aww. It's beautiful. At the same time, Matt's concert is finally getting underway, at least until a dark Tyrannomon crashes through the stage backdrop, accompanied by a horde of Bakemon.
It's a bunch of ghosts coming out of it. It's a Danny Phantom. Yeah. Gotta stop all the ghosts that are coming through.
Did we have a dark Tyrannomon yet? Did that happen?
Well, they didn't give us the little fucking fly. I assume so.
I know we didn't have a Megadramon before.
We did. We did, actually, yes.
What? When?
Season 1, we have Megadramon and Gigadramon were Machine Dramon's fucking lieutenants.
Oh, no. You're right. Yes. No, because they're, like, running the city. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They got the whole fucking machine city.
Damn. Well, I'm silly. I thought I was going to be able to go Gun Dragon.
It's unfortunate. I thought I was gonna be able to get some easy porn, but we got frankly I'm gonna spoil it, we got no new shit this episode.
None. It's all redos,
but yeah, the things get crashed,
including 4 solid minutes of Digivolution animations at the end of the episode.
I started that going, fuck yeah, we get all the originals. They're going champion again. We got Greymon.
We got Agumon into Greymon and then the other 4 that were present into their champion forms at the same fucking time.
Yeah, Ikakumon, Kabuterimon, Bergermon, and fucking
Garurumon.
Garurumon. That he was relegated to the fucking 2x2. That sucks.
it was bad news for him.
Yeah, he used to be like up there as dual protagonist.
He was a damn deuteragonist.
Yeah.
He had the CG animation.
He got the CG, and they just put that in the corner. They put that in picture in picture while you're watching baseball.
Man, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's fucking hard.
Fucking rough. But no, I was legitimately like, yeah, we're getting it's Christmas. We're getting the whole gang together and it's still going. still Digivolving.
Oh, okay. Well, because then they have to go to champion, right? And then from champion, they can Jogress.
Yeah. We get some armor Digivolutions too. Fucking, Rageramon, Nefertimon and Pegasusmon.
Cause they have to snatch up all the little tiny ones, the Numamon that are running around.
Because this is not Angelmon territory, happening right now. This is not required the angels.
No. Once we get down to the 2 perfect levels, the Dark Tyrannomon and the Megadramon, then we square off with the Jogresses.
Yeah.
The Jogri.
We get our fusions.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's Agumon and the other Digimon attempt to Digivolve, but fail, forcing the group to retreat into the concert tent outside the Digidest and discover a whole host of Digimon running amok in a control spire, explaining why the Digimon are unable to Digivolve. Okay. While all this is happening, the other Digidestined at Ken's home are playing a card game, and Yole becomes frustrated after losing. Oh, no, this is thematically appropriate! The conversation we had at the beginning! This causes everyone to chuckle, and Ken laughs out loud, surprising everyone in the room.
Yeah, they're like, wow, the last time we heard you laughing, you were literally whipping a living creature.
Yeah, you were harming a living creature for fun the last time you laughed. Ken becomes sheepish, causing the group to laugh even more. This broke my heart. In the kitchen, Ken's mother is over the moon at how well Ken is doing with his new friends. She says something like, I didn't think I'd hear children laughing in my home.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, you had two boys at one point, and now you have one boy who's a hikikomori.
Extremely
on the
depressed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking it out on some creatures that don't deserve it.
Yeah. Damn.
Definitely not out there making friends.
Yeah. Good at soccer. Could go practice soccer. With his friends. No, you don't got no fucking friends.
No friends.
To practice soccer with. Though the phone goes off before she can get any more misty-eyed, and it turns out to be Ty, who's calling Kari and the others for help. They react swiftly and soon meet with the older Digidestined. The first move is to destroy the newly erected control spire, allowing the rest of the Digimon to Digivolve and fight.
They do have Digmon do that, which does mean he tunnels through actual like infrastructure in Japan.
Yeah. Well, they have earthquakes all the fucking time. It's, you know, no difference to them. It's fine.
Okay, but you get my point. It's like, oh, these moves are less cool when you're not cracking a featureless mountain and instead you're cracking someone's house.
It was a parking lot. Oh boy. So fucking, their first move, destroy the new, they round up the Digimon, sending them back to the digital world via Izzy's laptop. And the last few Digimon turn out to be tougher opponents than the previous ones, and so they Digimon, giving them the extra strength they need. Okay. That's all we can really say for that fight scene. Mostly, like, Megadramon doesn't do anything super cool, he just kind of menaces them. He's like, Megadramon, once the chaos is over,
Bonzimon does more shit than Megadramon here.
Yeah.
He like actually throws some heart bubbles out, like people are in danger.
There was okay, no, Megadramon does do one fucking missile salvo that I thought was kind of cool.
He does, and we don't see where that goes.
No, it just kind of goes past Birdramon, I think. Just kind of goes,
yeah,
moves a little out the way.
Very, very like Heisei era kind of. The collateral damage is implied, but we're not going to focus on it.
Sure.
We're not doing a like Mass Effect 2. Isaac Newton is the deadliest son of a bitch in space.
Hell yeah, that's a good line.
Do you know that line?
That's from ME2, I imagine. I didn't play enough of Mass Effect 2. Actually.
Okay, so it's a, you can just walk past a soldier telling other soldiers about the ship armaments on a spaceship of like, listen, there's no friction, there's no air resistance, you fire something, it keeps moving until it hits something, or the expansion of the universe means it will never touch anything ever again, which means if you fire something, you are ruining something's day somewhere at some point, so you better be fucking certain you're gonna hit the target you meant.
That's cool.
And he caps it off with, Isaac Newton is the deadliest son of a bitch in space.
That's cool.
An object in motion will stay in motion
forever. Well, it could hit like, you know what I mean?
It could impact a planet,
trajectory,
asteroid.
It could like get caught in orbit and change its trajectory.
But what he's saying is that it's going to hit something somewhere eventually.
Yeah, something's getting fucked by a tungsten rod.
Yeah, you're putting a tungsten rod at lethal velocities for a literal spaceship out there into the universe.
Maybe you're putting a rebar gun through Havelock's heart. Maybe that's the thing you're doing.
We haven't talked about the expanse at all. Yeah, we should. Yeah, we should have. It would have been a great topic. It would have been a much
more
less
amicable,
difficult topic.
Once the chaos is over, the group comes to the conclusion that Arcanimon must be behind this. and prepare themselves for more trouble ahead. Though in the meantime, the kids wish each other a Merry Christmas and head home to enjoy the festive season while it lasts. When Daisuke is awoken in the morning by a terrified June, both siblings see on the news that control spires have appeared all over the world!
All over the world, along with gates opening up everywhere.
Yeah. Now, we're still...
We do get the overnight shot of everyone getting to cuddle with their Digimon.
Yeah.
And they go to sleep. Agumon's like on top of Tai, kicking his legs. And I'm like, I feel so seen. This is me. I'm a digi creature. No, but it's so cute. Again, cried at this part because I just, anime is so fucking good at hitting the emotional resonance of a thing, even when like the visual and audio texture of it is maybe a bit less high fidelity than some TV stuff. It hits me as hard, if not harder, than some of the like toughest scenes that I saw in The Wire. Like anime is built to do that, I think, as an art form. It's built to hit you in the fucking heart.
You fully cry. You definitely cried more in this episode than the one where Kima got shot.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's not that I didn't cry, it's just that this one like continually hit my heartstrings really, really good.
You were definitely like, nah, fuck that pig. I'm glad she got shot.
Calling me out. Yeah. Yeah, she's a fucking pig, dog. I get that she's a lesbian and it sucks that a queer person died, but you shouldn't have been on the fucking force, idiot.
She didn't die.
Okay, she didn't die. She was disabled.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the point is, should have been on the force. Don't be a fucking pig.
She goes back to work in season two. She actually
pigs are traitors.
Class traitors, all. ACAB. But Izzy discovers that digiports have opened all over the world as well, meaning the Arcanimon and Mummymon have unleashed Digimon all over the planet! And there's no way for the Japanese Digidestined to stop them. Because they're all the way over there.
Because they're all in Japan. Yeah, you got to reach out to the universal. We established this at the end of the first one. Yeah, Digidestined everywhere.
I want to see the Digimon en français.
Yeah.
Digidestined en français. They're all eating baguettes and smoking cigarettes. I am 9 years old.
You want to see the Digi Expedition.
Yes, I want to see the Digi Expedition. I want to see one with like an electric type Digimon that's a DJ, you know?
You're fucking dweeb. One of them would have like an Edamon partner. You're absolutely right.
That's true. Oh man, Coral.
Do you think Vedamon can spin discs?
Maybe. You know what I forgot? It's Tuesday. I have to stream.
Yeah, you do.
Go to bed after this.
Oh, you can't. Oh, fuck. God damn it.
Damn it.
That really sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it sucks. I made the schedule. Anyway, let's do the part where we rate this episode on a scale of rookie to mega.
I'm going to give this one a mega for all of the yay.
Okay.
They almost got themselves bumped down to an ultimate because the 4 fucking minutes of Digivolution gets tiring real fast.
Yeah.
It's padding the shit out of what's supposed to be a very special episode.
Yeah.
And it pisses me off. But
when it's a
where it's good, it's so good.
Transcendent.
Digi catharsis.
Digitharsis.
Yeah,
when it's
mega.
Good, it's good as fuck. I'm gonna have to go mega because it's our first Christmas special too, I think.
There may have been one in the first season. I don't fucking remember.
I don't feel like there was. I don't seem to remember one. Well, because they're spending more time in the digital, in the real world, they're more concerned with real world holidays.
Yes, so I think absolutely.
That we have more sort of time being marked.
A brief stint in the real world in the last one, and that was fully during a crisis.
Yeah. Which I believe happened in October, if I remember correctly.
It came out for Halloween.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give it an ultimate because I like that it was, well, did it, I don't know why I'm equivocating so much. I'm gonna say ultimate. The fights weren't incredible. The pathos was there and earned and lovely to watch people be reunited with their Digimon partners. That was great.
And serious turning points on multiple people's arcs here.
Yeah. God, Ichijoji giving out the invitations. That was
his
so good.
The mom's talking about, like, yeah, your son's really changed. He never used to answer the phone before.
Yeah. Well, is this going to make me go where?
It's art, bitch! It's fucking art!
Okay, I got some stuff for you.
Hell yeah.
We got a Christmas episode, so I thought I would go not with a kink theme, but with a seasonal theme. This one is Christmas.
Christmas in June.
Now,
happy Pride!
While I was searching, Audrey made the prediction that we're going to get Bara Santa. So, in order to affirm her guess, I decided to find Bara Santa.
Nice. Not only is it Bara Santa, it's Bara Anthro Polar Bear Santa wearing a red furry banana hammock and little like ankle wrap boots that have his little claws sticking out.
Yeah, you gotta have the tootsies out.
He looks like the fucking Coca-Cola polar bear. Yeah,
I think that's the idea, yes.
But like a little smoldery with it. Like he's definitely looking like he wants to fuck. And that's great for him because there is a latex reindeer next to him on a leash wearing
latex
a jingle bell harness.
Across the horns, too.
What, you're going to not get fully encased if you're going to get fully encased?
Do your horns count?
Dip that slut. Just dip him in the fucking latex.
Turn upside down, dip him like a Wendy cone.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck me, dog.
That's DQ. DQ does that.
I never worked for either. I worked for fucking Jack in the Box, and I had like a nervous breakdown and cleaned a counter with a mop.
Oh, honey, yeah. That's so sad.
Yeah, no, I straight up was not having a good time.
That's hard. What else is hard is Santa's throbbing cock in this image. And I think, is that the fucking reindeer's cock going up
his
chest? Yes,
of course that's a bulge.
Okay, and it's going up his chest.
Well, it's like all scooped up by the latex, right? His balls have been...
Oh, I get it. Oh, and those are his abs. Got it.
Yeah, his balls are like scrunched up with his schlonger in that
schling slang.
Spherical latex orb down there.
In that beautiful latex orb. I love how shiny his hooves are. In the latex. It's very extremely good. He's got red and gold gilded garter belts on. God, this is good.
Oh, I gotta give you the description. The title of this piece is Santa's Squeaky Helper.
Oh, I love it.
And the description is Santa has a lot of helpers, but this squeaky one, he'll keep for himself. Mm. Winky face with a bracket smile.
God, he is gonna pound the shit out of that reindeer.
How? He's fully encased.
He's gonna just cut a little slit in the butt crack.
It's gonna feel weird as like a bunch of air slits like seeps into that airtight fucking.
you get he's having latex farts on his ass cheek.
Yeah. That's amazing. I bet that's hilarious.
Or maybe it's kind of ace kink play where he's just going to like lead him around and shit.
Yeah, it could fully be kink play. He may not be fucking at all.
Maybe that latex reindeer just has to, you know, like shine his fucking boots or whatever. Because, you know, Santa got boots.
Yeah. Well, no, he's got the tootsie out fucking ankle.
What? He's got boots in the other room. He's got to have boots.
Fair enough. The fucking the harness, the jingle harness kills me. This is hilarious. So good.
Yeah, the latex sub is definitely going to black Polar Bear Santa's boots later on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's happening.
All right. Now this one's for me. This one is for Corla, a little teehee that you have to see now. For my enjoyment, for my amusement.
Oh, no.
Sweet sticky hands, sticky peppermint. This is Juniper the cat, the peppermint cat, who you may know from the like visibly horny but not NSFW little fucking animation went around a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. and she has A huge ass. A hyper ass.
No, yes. Hyper ass.
Yeah. Well, no, both tags are on there. Huge butt and hyper butt.
But this is not just a huge butt, because I've seen huge butts. Some people have even said that I have a huge butt. I don't think it's that huge.
It's not this.
It's not this. None of it's this.
It looks like she's smuggling like four people, two in each cheek.
Yeah, exactly.
They're so big. And she has another cat pinned to the wall. Pump cat, I think his name is.
Pump cat. Yeah.
Yeah. pinned to the wall with her booty butt. And she's very happy about it. She's looking back with the sultry cat eyes.
And Pump cat appears to be dead.
He appears to be dead or dying.
Well, that's awesome. What do you have to say?
Not much else to say about that.
Yeah. What do you have to say about, like, the art style? Like,
it's, I mean, the art style is like zero shading in this, and yet still. Well, I mean, there's shadows under her butt to sell the impending volume crushing this man.
Yeah.
But it's otherwise like fully unshaded and still has kind of a depth of color to it.
Yeah, good detail.
Good detail. I like it. I don't know what to tell you. I think it's a very cute drawing and very silly, and I like cute, silly things.
Yeah.
What do you think about huge asses, Audrey? What do you think about hyper ass specifically?
I think hyper anything. I'd like the realm of the fantastical does little for me sexually.
Really?
However, I'm looking at these cheeks, and I see a shape that I recognize on a certain co-host of Data Transfer. You got some rocking cheeks, my girl.
Oh, thank you, darling. I rarely get to see my own ass.
The image on my screen right now, the single or the double of the ass cheek, if I hold it like this, it's almost, if I take it and I put it like that on your butt, the size of it on my screen, if I full screen it, both of her butt cheeks are about the size of one of your butt cheeks. In the size of my screen.
That's fucking funny. Wait, you have a picture of my ass pulled up right now? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I could.
Oh, that's fucking funny. I wish I had these. I wish I had, like... I'm gonna have to bleep this one. I wish I had cop killer cheeks. Oh, fuck.
Take me back to February 12th of 2022. Good Lord, Corla, we've been dating since 2021.
Yeah, since, like, early pandemic.
Yeah, December 21. We started dating.
Cause we got together because of the Bloodborne.
Yeah. In February of 21 is, or February of 22 is when we met for the first time. And this happened. Remember this?
Yeah. Aww. Got y'all collared up.
We look so young in that picture.
So vibrant.
So full of hope. So supple. Oh man. Well,
but you did not give your full opinion on hyper, by the way.
Oh, it does nothing for me sexually, but you have a big ol' ass, so. Oh,
okay. I guess that was the full thing, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. What about, like, cum inflation?
Again, realm of the fantastical. Does little to nothing for me sexually, unfortunately, for you.
That's wild. People need more imaginations.
I don't know. I just like more realistic stuff happening.
Yeah, this like we have beings, this problem with fucking TV shows too.
I was gonna say, get like your live beings, action
bullshit out of my face.
Like human beings fucking on film. That's what I like.
Thing is, I don't know. I have sex with a human now, right?
With my never shall.
I could fuck, assuming the people around me who are down are consenting at that time. The point being. We're going back to this. I've been fucking since I was 14. I'm tired of it. Read a new fuck.
brought it back to that. See, I think you're just frustrated with...
I think you're a sore comer, actually. I think that's the core of it.
Man. Fuck, hurry up. Name your digital champion.
Palmon! Yay! She's literally crying that she actually gets to see Mimi, because like they had to go the extra mile to make that happen, and they just do that for her. She's so happy to see Mimi, and she's going to wake up and see her friend Palmon.
Yeah. My digital champion is Ken Ichijoji once again for working up the courage to give the invitations out. He could have just chickened out and told his mom, nah, they ain't doing it.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to change mine because Matt gets a call from his dad who's like, I'm going to be home late today. And he's like, I mean, yeah, me too. I got a party. I'll get my own food. Don't worry about it. You're working your best and we all see it. Like, he is...
That's cool.
A full ass fucking like healthy adult.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say in spite of probably growing up a bit too fast because of the split family situation. Yeah. Which is sad, but also like good on you, dog.
Yeah. Way that to adapt.
You and Ty are both being such fucking like growing up to be such cool people.
Yeah.
Like good people. And that makes me happy.
Love to see it. What if Izzy was just a shithead for some
Izzy becomes a groiper.
Or oh no! Oh no! Izzy got on 4chan!
Oh no, he's on 2chan.
Oh god. Oh
fuck.
And fucking Joe becomes a 9gag guy.
No. What was the thing? Like all the chans
iFunny.
And iFunny, like all fucking agglomerate into one thing, it becomes 11chag.
Ugh.
I forget the meme.
I don't care for that. What I do care for is your plugs.
My plugs. Yeah, I got post ponies. I know we got one in the can that should be coming out soon. Gigi Willie.
Inshallah, it will be done.
It will be done. Post Ponies is another little podcast I do that's a retrospective of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, and the rise of American fascism. It's me, it's three other trans gals, and we're going through the entire Friendship is Magic show and having just a fucking insane time of it on both ends, on both kinds of insane. You know, we have to look directly into the horrors of what's going on right now. And also, we get to talk about penises and weird kink and shit.
I fuck with that.
See, that's a show where everyone's got some imagination. Perhaps too much imagination. Perhaps I was too harsh on you because now I'm thinking about it, Jesus Christ. Go listen to that. Anywhere you're listening to this or at smoghayhorse.com.
Got to. I'm going to plug my DJ streams, which I do every Tuesday night. 10 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/DJ0PIX. That's DJ Holpix on Twitch. We have a blast playing tunes and hanging out and, you know, doing that good music shit. So come join us and we'll fucking, you know, we'll see you over there. Another group of people that I would like to see are our patrons, who go to patreon.com/datatransfer and give us $5 a month to get a shout out at the end of each main feed episode. And I've got them this week. And they're going to go like this. As of yesterday, Sarah Frignon.
Ah!
We got a new patron. How cool is that? Sarah I don't know how to pronounce it.
We have a Discord and an email.
Tell us.
Datatransferpod@gmail.com. Please tell us please, so they don't fuck it up. How to
pronounce your name. We've got Arokedimon parenthesis real. Kitty Sparks. Ember Saffron. I don't know why I can't read half of these sometimes because they're too long. Vile Pig Farmer. The amazing, or let's see, that's a free one. We don't read you. The Worst of All Possible Worlds podcast, Asa/Anya. That one's free tier right now. I probably should have sorted by tiers. Saturday's Claire. This penguin has got her boobs out. Cat. Jubilation Lee, Pablo Hummus, Mish, Waylon the Sprite Smith, Maya, Teresa, Bubba Nitro, and my Metamore Gigi. Thank you so Gigi. Much for supporting us at the Digidestined tier. You absolutely are the Digi in our mind. This was great. I think that, like, the energy we had at the beginning springboarded us into a good energy at the end, and I feel good about this one.
I feel pretty good too.
Sometimes podcasts about conflict, baby. Sometimes. This was a PvP podcast there for a second.
However you feel about the opening, just remember that I have to edit it after I was the one to get real fucking hypey.
Well, I could fucking edit it, so, anyway, but I could do this one too.
I'm just saying, have some patience with us, folks, because
it's coming. And it's coming for you. You know, it's going to come around. Everything going to get better for everybody. Hopefully. Yeah,
someone in your life is going to make you play Marathon one day.
Will that make it better for them or worse in your estimation?
Let's find out. Rolling dice.
Rolling bones, baby. Like we say every week on Data Transfer, rolling bones, baby!